I'll never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello and welcome to Skanon Podcast number 44.
All the fours, 44.
Jeez, we're heading towards 50. We're cracking on now.
We're heading towards a year doing this.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels like longer. In a good way, obviously, in a good way.
Have you found what you've been watching yet, Jason?
I have found that I have lists here. I've made copious amounts of notes and research.
You don't have to tell us them all.
He's very well prepared for the podcast.
I am, every week. Yeah, what have I been watching? Okay, right, let's start. I watched six films over the weekend. I'll be brief on a couple, but I want to talk about a couple. I watched for the first time The Conformist.
Ah.
Which is a trip and a half. That's insane, that film. Probably some of the best cinematography I've seen in the film in quite some time. It's absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
By, blah, 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 blah.
Antonio.
Yeah, the cinematography.
Oh, damn it.
What's the name? Sorry, I'll just send Philip on a chase there.
Okay.
But anyway, it's extraordinary. It's a hitman movie as such and goes off into all sorts of little tangents, but it's great. They followed that up with a screening of a couple of new films, which Philip may be interested in one of them.
Vittorio Storaro, by the way.
That's the one, yeah.
And it was Bertolucci, not Antonioni. I was thinking of The Passenger. But anyway.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. So, The Duke of Burgundy.
You like this or I'm done?
We definitely like The Duke of Burgundy.
Good.
This is kind of brilliant, in a way, and kind of bizarre, in other ways. Like, it's
wonderfully so, but yes.
Beautiful to look at. Superbly shot. Like, I mean, some of this, it feels like it's taken place in a galaxy.
It
which
does.
It kind of is anyway, because, I mean, there's no sign of a male character in any way, shape, form,
no.
Which is most welcome in a lot of ways. The two main characters and actresses who Philip will pronounce in a second,
Cici Babbitt-Knudsen and Chiara Dana.
That's the ones. Are excellent. unbelievably funny. Surprisingly so.
Would the human toilet be a super suitable compromise?
Exactly. Just the imagery of a box being closed and somebody putting on their pyjamas made me laugh more than a lot of films have in quite some time. And I think that's where it kind of came down. It like I think there's an element of body horror to it for me, and in terms of aging and the effort it takes to hold back. To hold your life and kind of stay relevant, stay young, I suppose, stay hungry, stay interested, where the ease of giving up as the world kind of just by as you get older, I think is really interesting. Maybe it doesn't quite get into that enough, but it does touch upon it.
I think it touches upon it quite a lot, because the theme of the film, I mean, what drives it is this whole S&M thing.
Yeah.
And the idea of, you know, somebody being tortured for pleasure. But while one person is getting pleasure from the torture, another person is being tortured by having to torture.
Yeah. And
ooh, meta.
The reading of the lines of dialogue that, and this is where it gets very, very clever as well in that regard.
I'm and
very
funny. Meta.
Is that there's lines within the film whilst also the dialogue, because they're reciting role play in essence. And when it gets really interesting, and where, you know, the lines wasn't read forcefully enough.
Oh, they were so bland at the start.
Yeah.
At the start, you think Knudsen is
a
bad actress.
Yeah. And it's great like that. It touches on that, all that kind of thing of performance and how we all perform, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot.
Good.
I really liked that. I'm looking forward to seeing it again at some point.
You should.
I may well do.
I'm glad you liked it. I was afraid I'd oversold it, but nope.
All right, next up is on Jay's How the Hell Did This Get 5 Stars Award.
Uh-oh.
It follows. All right, has anybody else seen this?
No.
Donald Clark gave it 5 stars.
Yes, he did. Peter Bradshaw gave it 5 stars also. All right.
Robbie Collin. A lot of 5 stars.
Honest to Christ, people. You've got to stop giving films like this 5 stars. Which is not to say there's not some very good stuff here. The first hour of this film is excellent and sets up and puts together a very interesting idea, a very good idea. Some arresting visuals, some non-specific time-related kind of area. You don't know what decade it is, even though it's for all intents and purposes, it's now, but it feels like the 80s, it feels like the carpet era horror, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Big old gas-guzzler cars, that kind of stuff going on. And there's some really great moments that are actually quite frightening, but not relying on the usual generic scare tactic, build the music up things that happen now. Which are awful. But then, kind of about an hour of the way through, maybe a little less, it kind of stops in the sense that the scares tend to disappear. The logic in the film falls slightly in the sense of how it works, which I'm not going to really talk about, I'm going to keep it in the film.
No spoilers.
You do see it. Yeah, it wouldn't be really a spoiler, but I think it's better to know what it's possible about. And then the ending is kind of awful. And
right.
And just doesn't really, really work. So I was kind of like, okay. And then I was like, yeah. And I was like, no.
Huh.
It's fine. I wouldn't put off anybody seeing it. I just, a lower expectation slightly, 5 stars seems kind of ludicrous to me.
Mm.
I gave it a very solid 3. I could see why somebody would give it 3.5, maybe 4 if it really worked for you. But beyond that, it's madness.
I might see it at some point. I don't know. Generally, I don't see horrors in the cinema. I don't know why. I'm a wuss, I guess. But I might.
Worth seeing. I wouldn't put you off, but it's just prepare yourself. The hype machine. I think when horrors are not mediocre, there's a tendency to oversell them.
Mm.
That, oh god, it wasn't terrible.
Like the reviews you're talking about, they're not coming from like horror buffs.
No. This is the art house horror film that all the critics can love. Much in the same vein as the Babadook.
I thought it was the Babadook.
Yeah,
no,
well,
we've moved
this
on.
Week's one is this, yeah. I liked the Babadook as well. I liked it a little bit more than this, but neither of them are 5-star films for me.
Mm.
Babadook's
a solid 4 for me.
I think it was 3.5 for me. Because I think it runs out of steam a little bit, but what came before is great. And it's less of a horror, in my opinion. We discussed that before.
Yes, indeed.
But the last two, then, I saw Coherence.
Oh,
which I
yes.
really, really liked.
Me too.
A lot more than expecting. I know you said good things about it, but it's a strange film, that. And
it is.
And it reminded me a little bit, although a little more kind of mainstream, but it reminded me a touch of Shane Carruth.
That's a very good comparison.
Because the thread of it is really strongly held together by the director. You can imagine a storyboard in the hell of this to make sure everything fits.
It has to be. It's a simple setup.
It's a brain
and it
builder.
Certainly it goes all over the place.
And it, towards the end, I started to lose it, got it back in, and I think the story maybe drifts a little bit too much on it. But good lord, it's a...
Oh, when it works,
certainly for the first 3 quarters, it's superb.
And with its... fairly obvious budget limitations
yes.
as well.
But
it's
the ingenious use of one location to use 2 locations. It's great.
Because you're never quite sure where you are or what's going to happen.
Geographical
or who you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, geographical and actor displacement with one group of actors and one location. That's pretty smart filmmaking. That's how you stretch a budget. It's very smart.
I
liked it. And it has... And it infers
like
a lot.
Almost.
Yeah, and it doesn't over-explain anything. It's smart about it. It builds gradually. The actors are pretty good as well. Nobody really... nobody stands out as pretty bad. Like, they're all decent.
Although all the Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans have got to go, oh my god, it's Xander!
I didn't, because I didn't know who that was. But,
Xander's in this one.
Yeah, for all you Buffy fans. But it's good. I liked it.
That'd be me.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's made for you.
Yeah. And it's small scale. It's very efficient. It's tightly made. And I look forward to seeing what director James Ward-Burkitt does next.
Me too. And to finish off, my weekend...
Finally. You've been busy.
12 Angry Men. Lumeathon kicked off.
You're on a Lumeathon.
I'm starting off in a Lumeathon.
Except it's a Lumetathon.
Whatever it is. I'm saying what it is.
It's
Lumet.
If you could ask the director, he'd tell you.
He's dead now. It's what I say it is.
Let Jason have whatever the hell he wants to have.
Thanks, Nan. That's very nice of you. Lumetathon.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Metathon?
One more needs to be said about 12 Angry Men.
Nothing. Let's move
on.
It's
fantastic. Watch it if you haven't. Somehow you haven't. Watch it. 12 sweaty, weird character actor men debating in the league. Debating a great legal case.
Film that spectacularly fails the Bechdel test.
To some degree.
But he watched The Duke of Burgundy, which spectacularly passes the Bechdel test.
And then some. Enough for a lot of movies.
Indeed.
So the one offsets the other.
So a fine weekend was had. Philip.
Well done. I didn't watch near as much as you.
So patronising.
He meant that well done.
Of course he did.
Yeah. I did.
You go with that.
Yeah. What did I watch? I rewatched Shivers. David Cronenberg's Shivers.
Yes. Excellent.
Yeah, It's a debut. It shows.
Oh,
yeah.
It's been a long time.
I can't remember it.
To be honest.
I think age has not been kind to it, but mostly because so many films have derived so much from it.
Oh, okay.
It's low budget shows at times, and for a film that's a little over 80 minutes, it drags a bit. But it's fine.
As a debut,
it's fine. And really, really disturbing ideas once you think about it. These slugs that invade people and turn them into sex-crazed zombies.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a good night out.
Indeed.
It's fine. It's solid. Good fun, but Cronenberg would build on it. Which reminds me, you watch Rabid sometime soon. Then I watched My Dinner with Andre.
Ah, what a show.
What a show. I was at dinner with a friend over the weekend, and it was
called Andre.
No.
That would have been great.
Not called Andre, but there were times when it did feel like that. There were times when I was thinking, am I Wally Shawn or am I Andre Gregory? Oh, I'm totally Wally. I'm always Wally Shawn. Me being Andre Gregory? Inconceivable! But anyway, it's so intelligently written that if you don't go along with it, yeah, it doesn't care. It's not bringing you along. You listen to these guys talk and you pay attention because it's so good and so rewarding and two great performances. And you're well sated before the bill comes.
I only watched that for the first time early last year, I think.
Mm.
And I liked it a lot.
Andre Gregory's voice, it's so lovely, it's almost soporific. Which would normally be a bad thing, but
they're
just
perfectly cast together.
There.
You want to spend time in their company, crucially.
Well, crucially.
Crucially.
This isn't something you'd cast Russell Crowe in, put it that way.
Certainly is not. Although I kind of want to see it.
You don't think Russell Crowe can do nuance and subtlety?
It's been a long time since The Insider.
Yeah. Robin Hood?
Jay, you're a good one. And I finished the weekend with a film which I'd say you probably have watched, Jay, or at least you have in your possession and maybe haven't got around to. A documentary called Let There Be Light.
Oh.
Which is John Huston's 1946 film about veterans coming home from the war.
Ah, no, I haven't seen this.
And the reason you might have seen know of it is because it was a prime influence on The Master.
That's right.
And in fact, it's an extra on the DVD.
Which I have, and I haven't got around to.
Yeah, it's just an hour long. There are lines of dialogue and certain scenes which Anderson actually lifts wholesale.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a fascinating watch, actually. Although you would think probably some of these soldiers/patients. I'd say some of these guys are actors, but still, it's well worth a look, especially for fans of The Master,
and
which you should be.
Yeah, and if you're not, you poor, poor soul.
Right. Anyway, that's me. Niall.
So, to honour the late departed Leonard Nimoy, who died since we last recorded.
Yes.
May he live long and prosper,
yes,
wherever he may be.
In the ground.
I was debating...
Sorry.
I was debating...
He has gone where no man has gone before.
Okay, okay.
Put it that way.
Okay.
Don't be so harsh, Jay.
I was debating whether or not to watch the Three Men and a Little Baby or one of the Star Treks. And
oh dear.
I came down on the side of watching one of the Star Treks.
Good.
So I watched Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
One of the better ones.
Yeah, so my wife had never been treated to the glory that is this particular film, and so...
Did she enjoy?
I don't think she disliked it. So.
Good start.
Yeah. So,
hi, Sinead.
So that was one of the ones. I mean, this is... They go back to contemporary San Francisco, so like 1980s San Francisco.
On the bus and stuff like that. Yeah.
And there's a punk on the bus,
yeah,
and he's playing his music far too loud, and Spock uses the Vulcan nerve pinch on him, and the man passes out.
Oh, I've wanted to do that so many times with public transport.
And everyone claps. So that's...
Let's see him play that in the 79.
Voyage Home is 86, yeah.
No, I'm talking about the bus... I forget about it. Jesus.
Okay, we will. So, and Nimoy actually directed that.
That was why I picked it. Yeah, because Nimoy directed it himself. So he also directed The Search for Spock. The Search for Spock isn't as bad as some of the odd-numbered ones. It's just after Wrath of Khan.
Is Search for Spock the one which opens with them on shore leave on Earth, and they're singing "Row, row, row your boat"?
Oh, good lord!
That sounds right. No, I haven't seen it in a long time now.
It's one of the most. I mean, I'm talking about Star Trek, but this is pretty nonsensical, even for Star Trek. Two humans and a Vulcan sat around a campfire singing "Row, row, row your boat."
No. But, oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's that is not a that's not a good opening.
No.
But
and what else did you watch?
Then I also watched Back to the Future.
Again.
Yes, because it was on after the rugby on Sunday.
Right. Well, we need to say no more on that.
Yeah,
and then it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then I spent 2 hours transcribing an interview with Ronnie Humphreys, director of the Dublin Film Festival. So,
speaking of which, yes, should we start the news?
Yes, moving on to the news. And JDF is the big news.
Woo!
Jesus.
So
I'm trying, Jay. I have to gather up enough enthusiasm for both of us.
Yeah, so JDF had its official,
that's more like it.
Had its official launch last Wednesday.
And we were there.
And we were.
We were.
Hobnobbing.
So it was launched by director Jared Barrett and star Jack Rayner of Glassland, which is playing in the festival.
It is. Who'd have thunk?
Yeah.
I've got my ticket.
Ditto.
So that's on March 27th that's playing. So there's quite a lineup of films for the festival.
Do we have any particular ones we're looking forward to, gents?
Yes.
I'm intrigued, but I'm kind of scared by The Tribe.
I've got a ticket for it. I took the plunge.
Oh.
Despite Philip's warnings.
There are warnings that... Yeah, well... It's a warning.
It was a warning. There's no way you warned.
What else could I do? I mean, I think it's a worth one watch.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, that's all it's probably going to get. But I definitely wanted to see it, though. I kind of didn't want to pass it up.
Yeah,
because it sounds insane.
It's
stop it.
So the festival is opening with The Price of Desire, which
much is that now? Desire's gone up a bit since my day.
We'll have to go and find out, Philip. This is an Irish film that's shot primarily in France.
Ah, oui.
And features Orla Brady as the architect, Eileen Gray.
Ah.
And Vincent Perez, Francisco Siana. So Vincent Perez is playing Le Corbusier, the rival architect who stole some of her plans and tried
to basically
thwarted her in every conceivable way, you know. It's based in the house that she designed in the south of France, E1027.
I'm just remembering a great Fraser gag about Le Corbusier, but that's for another time.
So that's the opening film. That's the first night. That's March 19th, and then it moves into the first full day of the festival, which is Friday, March 20th. With a classic screening of What's Up, Doc? And one of my highlights, one of the films I've been most looking forward to, most documentaries I've been most looking forward to this year, is Red Army, the story of the Soviet hockey team in the 80s. Basically, the counter Miracle on Ice.
Good.
Then one for Jay, My Life, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that clashes with a hair appointment, so I'm not going to get to see it.
Well, that won't give you more than 30 seconds.
That's on at the same time as Red Army, and one of the highlight comedies of the festival as well, Italian film I Can Quit Whenever I Want, is also on the same time. So what happens is an awful lot of them clash, which is...
Things of festivals,
but going to happen at a festival. So you have to pick your battles.
To that end, I create a calendar, and it's up on the Skinon Facebook page.
Fine,
Twitter account that you can download to your phone, and you can find out what films are on and clashing on.
Your commitment to films knows no bounds, Niall. We duly commend you.
I essentially have to run from Red Army which is on the Lighthouse, to Savoy One. No, which is on Cineworld, to Savoy One, to get into to the Water Diviner. That's on at 7:30. So I have like a 14-minute window to get from one to the other.
So. You've got long legs, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
2 steps should get you there, really, shouldn't it?
That screening will, of course, be attended by none other than its star and director, one Russell Crowe.
Yes, so he's coming back to Dublin to answer more questions about rugby to people who don't know anything about rugby.
And you know, the thing is, if you don't annoy him, he's quite nice. I talk to him. He's perfectly pleasant.
Oh, I talk to him. Me and Russell.
Sorry. I asked him two questions, Jay. I wouldn't oversell.
And he was pleasant and fine with those two questions.
Yes.
That's all you can ask for.
Is it?
Well, for two questions, it probably is.
Yeah, probably.
Saturday, then, Barry Lyndon opens the day. So this is
my ultimate clash.
Yeah, the 40th
this
anniversary.
Is killing me.
Isn't it?
Barry Lyndon and Princess Kaguya and Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, all you can't.
I've seen two of those,
three,
so at least I can make my pick.
Well, I'll be seeing Kaguya. I've got my ticket for that. So
yeah. Electric Boogaloo is a good watch. It's a bit of fun. Good documentary about Canon films if you're into that kind of thing. And Barry Lyndon, well, it's Barry Lyndon.
I've seen it in 70mm in Wi-Fi, so I'm fine with missing it.
Even though Ryan O'Neill and producer Jan Harlan,
yeah, Jan
Harlan, attendance.
I would have liked to appear upon these very good interviews, but one must take the hit sometimes.
Julie Andrews is over at the end for the closing of the festival. They're showing one of her very earliest movies, The Americanization of Emily.
Yeah,
so I've never seen
poor
this.
Emily.
No, I've still some films to add in. I think to the 13 I've already planned.
Yeah, I have 28.
Jesus.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So
I've 17.
I should get up to around 20, I think, by the time I finish up with what I want to see. But on that Saturday I'm seeing While We're Young.
Yeah, as am I.
As am I.
Yeah.
Oh, see you there. Snap. Snap. which is the Noah Baumbach, so heaven help us.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not a fan.
More Let's Go Squid in the Whale rather than
Greenberg or Francis.
Well, this one's got Ben Stiller in it, so.
Yeah.
And it's got Gerwig, so it's going to go ahead.
But it has Naomi Watts and Adam Driver.
Yes.
Sunday sees a couple of interesting looking films in there. There's an Irish documentary called Eat Your Children, which is it's based on two women who went away during the recession and came back to discover an Ireland that's apathetic towards the idea of protesting the recession, the measures taken by the recession. So this is essentially the water protest film. And then later on in the day, we have Listen Up, Philip. Which I wish he would do more.
What?
I've got a ticket for that. Have you?
Yeah. What?
God almighty.
I have a ticket for that, yes.
No?
I don't think.
Right what? Now. Of your 28 films?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I think I have a clip.
I think I'm also seeing The Quiet Roar.
I think I'm seeing Phoenix, so it's a crap.
Phoenix isn't bad. Good German drama. World War II drama. But it's not that grim. It's got hints of Fassbinder. I like it.
Fassbinder, not Fassbender.
Yeah. It's pronounced Fassbinder.
Yeah, but that... Yeah, the one that's spelled was I, not E. No, in terms of it's not got Michael Fassbender in it.
All I can say is you've confused me.
Right. On Monday, The Great Wall has to be seen.
I'm seeing The Great Wall, I think. Yeah.
So.
Which one's The Great Wall?
The Great Wall is based on a Kafka poem and tells the story of essentially isolation in Europe from the Caspian Sea over across and how Europe is becoming divided.
Sounds like a laugh.
Directed by Tygo Sullivan.
Yep.
The editor of Living in the Coded Land.
Oh, very good. My recommendation on Monday would be Pasolini, which is Abel Ferrara's retelling of the last day of the life of Pier Paolo Pasolini.
Unfortunately,
I'm also going to that.
What's happened? Does anybody ever find out what happened with that?
It's back up. You can get it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, I'll pick that up presently.
And so too. Willem Dafoe is a good
obviously the time to read Sundown. Jason's favourite.
Avoid
people.
Avoid.
I would throw myself over the moving traffic before I'd watch that again. So. Yeah.
And do you think he's joking?
That's on the poster right there. That's the best review you can find. No, it's pretty poor. Don't bother. Really don't bother.
Tuesday, 24th of March brings us to The Tribe.
I cannot wait. He says,
and
hesitatingly.
But the problem is The Tribe clashes with Miss Julie, so I can't go to see The Tribe, unfortunately, because I am going to see Jessica instead.
You swine.
You back off. I've got that covered. God, I'm shallow.
I think that might be me for Tuesday. I think I'm only seeing The Tribe
basically what we're saying is these are the films we're going to come and say hello. We don't bite.
I don't much anymore.
No, I only bite on request.
And you have to know what the safe word is. So.
Yeah.
Pinastri.
The Wednesday.
That's a Duke of Burgundy reference.
Wednesday, there's
I think I'm seeing All About Eve. All About Eva.
Yeah, that's the Irish one that was filmed in conjunction with Kildare County Council.
That's the one Fergie MacKenzie's film.
Yeah, it's about a jockey in.
It's got film noir, isn't it? Kind of thing going on, I think.
Yeah, it's
a, yeah.
And Dennis Rodman's Bing Bang in Pyongyang.
For the title alone, it's almost worth seeing.
Is,
but unfortunately, I will be seeing Girl Walks Home Alone at night.
An excellent choice. I love that film. I can't wait to see it again. Yeah. And you better come to shower me with birthday gifts. That's all.
Oh,
is that
that Wednesday? I really need to make a mental note of this.
Then,
and I'm sure you'll remind me in the next few weeks anyway.
I'm that shallow.
On
yes.
Thursday, 26th of March, Hardcore Disco, which is
a great
title because it's got 2 K's in it. So,
yeah.
Is Anders, but then I am actually going to go see Eden.
Eden's good. At least you'll be telling about your birth of your pop.
On that day, Force Majeure is on, which I very much recommend as well.
I'm
very
going good. To see that.
Yeah, you should. It's good.
Then I will.
Do.
And then Friday we have Glassland.
Is
the big one.
I think we're all there.
And then followed by Tanabana, if we're going to stay with the whole Irish.
What's Tanabana?
Tanabana is, it's about women who weave silk in India.
Oh, wow. It's an Irish film.
Yes, Pat Murphy.
Lord Ireland's got a lot bigger, hasn't it, in the last few years? Like, a lot of co-productions and kind of turning his gaze outward for a change.
That's also the same night as Pressure, starring Danny Houston, who's in town.
Yeah.
Yes, he's in town.
Oh, we might have to get a ticket for that then.
And Let Us Pray is on late at night, which I'm also going to go see.
That's a horror.
Which is, 10 to 22 to 11 at night, so.
It is a Friday night.
Yeah, so that's.
Do you know, I might be tempted to try to get Pressure on Let Us Pray.
You won't. Be close. So.
Or maybe Tanabana and Let Us Pray.
Yeah. And then Saturday, we'll Cloud Still Maria.
Oh, I'm there.
I'm Yixamaloom, don't see.
Yeah, there you go. Muriel's Wedding. Oh, brilliant.
You're terrible, Muriel.
It's Deirdre Chambers. What a coincidence.
one for Jason, Lost River.
I'm there.
Ryan Gosling's directorial.
I want to see how big a disaster it
is. I'm not seeing that, unfortunately, because I'm getting my hair done at an appointment.
Again?
But it's
no wonder you've none left. You're getting
I know. I'm also seeing the Falling, the Karamori film at 6.
Yes. Well, that's a good choice. Then I recommend The Little Chaos. That's Alan Rickman's film. He's over as well.
Oh, okay.
So that's on at 6:15 on Saturday the 28th.
Yeah,
but that clashes with Boy Choir, which has got what's his name in it?
Dustin Hoffman. I would also direct attention to A Master Builder, not a sequel to the Lego Movie, sadly, but starring the aforementioned Wallace Shawn, the new film from Jonathan Demme.
Half
Age. Oh yeah, but that's clashing unfortunately with The Falling. So
yeah, The Falling looks great. It's got Maisie Williams in it.
Yeah,
And then The Canal is on at 8:30,
which I wasn't wild about.
Yeah,
but
acclaimed Irish horror because it's getting mad reviews in the States.
So why not like horrors? That would,
and then maybe that's
I think so. Stop going to horrors, Jay. You're not being fair.
Sunday, 29th March, the three of us will be at A Pigeon Sat on the Branch reflecting on existence.
You bet your sweet ass we will. I will be there.
You leave my sweet ass out of this.
So to speak. And then the surprise film.
Then the surprise film.
Because we're suckers for punishment.
And The Sound of Music to close.
Which I will not be seeing.
Having seen it so many times already.
I've seen it once and it's more than enough. Average.
The Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels is the cult film, which is on the 24th.
Which I also won't be seeing.
There's an incredible lineup. The Road Within is on as well. That's
there's plenty of us to want to see.
The first Sunday, The Road Within is Robert Sheehan's new film.
Yeah, okay. I'll probably end up around 20.
So after all that, in conclusion, if you see us wondering about, please return us to the cinema.
Yeah. We will have t-shirts to that effect.
There's quite a few people on Twitter
that actually will.
What?
Yeah, there will. There will be t-shirts saying that it's been on. If lost, found, please return to the
really?
Cinema. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting t-shirts done.
Oh, fucking way.
Yeah.
You crazy mother.
There goes the PG-13.
Mother cussing.
Mother farmer.
The cussing is.
The cussing is.
Anyway, so that's creative.
Now, yeah.
News of Irish film abroad. So the Irish film...
Irish Abroad.
Yes, that's what I call it.
It just sounds like a contradiction in terms, but that's me.
It's the Irish
that
Abroad.
That is you, Philip. Yeah. A contradiction in terms.
thank you and good night. I think I'm done here.
So there's three Irish features have been named as part of the Irish Film Festa, which is going to play in Rome at the end of the month.
Yeah. Sorry, that's all of you.
I thought those racial stereotypes were my job.
It overlaps with Jadeves on the 26th to 29th of March.
Damn.
So I can't go to Rome.
Terry McMahon's Patrick's Day, which is still playing in cinemas and you really should go see, is
Philip.
Yep.
Sorry.
I think that was a hint.
Yeah, is playing, as is the Irish language Oscar shortlisted on Bruntness. And then there's also Gold by Niall Heary, so that's playing there as well.
I haven't seen Gold. Is Gold worth a watch?
Gold's grand. It's a nice film. It's not wonderful.
Yeah,
it's
not I'm not overselling
it. Does it teach you to always believe in your soul?
No.
You're indestructible.
It's a charming little film, but it's light, you know?
Yeah, okay. I like the trailer. The trailer looked pretty decent.
Yeah, so, and then the festival will also pay tribute to Lenny Abramson.
Good.
He's not gone, is he?
No.
Lenny, come back. We miss you.
And they will be showing 15 shorts there as well. So okay. The shorts are...
Skunky Dog?
No.
God damn it.
The Break... Coma, Ghost Train, which is excellent. The Good Word, I've Been a Sweeper, which is also excellent. Keeping Time, The Measure of a Man, Novena, Rubai, which is a nice little Irish language short. The Weather Report, which is very, very good. Anya, which is the brown bag animation that's made in conjunction with From Russia to with
Love. Yes. Damien O'Connor.
Yeah, Damien O'Connor's one, which is well worth a watch and is up on Garskanon, and we'll get onto that later. Deadly, which is excellent. That's the one with Det is working in a nursing home. Remember, we saw the clips of it.
Oh, yeah. At the thing. Yep. Yeah, that was very good.
The Jewel, The Legend of Phil, which... The Legend of Phil from Accounting is the full title, which is great. And Somewhere Down the Line, which is Cartoon Saloon's one that won in Clermont-Ferrand.
The Legend of Phil from Accounting?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
My life story.
It's a fine title.
Yeah. My life story.
So that's
about time.
That's the Film Festa. It's playing in Rome on the March 26th to 29th. So also, five Irish films have been given awards at the Boston Irish Film Festival. The
BIFF.
Yeah. Well, it's the Irish Film Festival Boston. So
that's not as much fun.
Yeah. So 1 Million Dubliners has been given the Director's Choice Award.
Good one, Aoife Keller.
Gold, Niall Heary's Gold, has been given Best Feature. Boogaloo and Graham gets Best Short. The Weather Report gets a Director's Choice of Short. And and On Bruntness gets a Special Jury Prize. So there's a number of other films playing in there as well, which is the banking film The Guarantee, which is not very good. As my review on the site will attest. Blood Fruit, which is a rather good documentary. Mairead Farrell, An Unfinished Conversation, is another documentary. And Dolores Keane, A Storm in the Heart. So three documentaries playing.
Excellent.
And then Run, Burke's Romantic Comedy, Stand By, is playing there as well.
I liked it as well.
I showed it to my in-laws and they really liked it.
It's very much a family film in that sense. It's good. It's surprisingly sweet.
A rom-com you can show the in-laws. These days.
It's sweet and really nice.
There's going to be two short film programs.
Yeah, you don't do sweet and nice.
But do you know what? It does exactly what it's supposed to do and does it well. You know, you get a lot of love from me if you do that.
Brought to you by Ron Seal.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so there's two short language or short programs on as well, but I haven't got the full listings of them.
For God's sake, Niall. Get on that.
And then on to the Garskanon, which is the new short or Irish short subsite of Scanon, and quite literally means Irish shorts. Short film.
I thought you were pirates, but alas, we're not.
So this is...
Anyway.
This was created to feature Irish shorts and news on such. So it features news of the films that are in development, films that are casting, films that are currently looking for financing, ones then that are... and it's where industry news, so if financing information is available or if changes have been made to the film board selections or BAI or whoever... So all that's up on the site, up on Garskanon as well.
What's that address?
It's gar.scanon.com. So.
Gear.scanon.com. Irishfilm.com.
Yes, exactly. And so there's also a Irish short film database in there as well. So at the moment there's about 50 films in there.
That's and what not bad going already.
Is it shows details on the film, the directors, actors and producers, production companies involved. It also shows the any posters and images of the film that are available, short trailers, or the full movie if the full movie is available. So there's about 10 full movies up there, and then the rest are all trailers.
Wow.
Jesus.
Listening to all this, it sounds very impressive. Who pray tell, was the wunderkind who came up with this idea?
No idea. It just popped, you know, just popped up all of its own accord.
Oh, you don't give yourself enough praise.
No, come
on. So
we certainly didn't do it.
This is my latest endeavour, and is what has been keeping me busy for the last
That's
week.
A fine endeavour, and fine work. You should go and see it.
Between Scannon, Gareth Scannon, and a baby, by the way, you've got far too many endeavours.
Yes, I do. But sure, you know, might as well take everything on all at one time. That's the way to go.
Right.
And on that, we'll move on to the top 10.
Hey.
Oh.
Yes.
A significant drop in box office all told this week.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like quite a week, to say the least.
It's the post-Oscars dirge. Brace yourselves, boys. We're going in.
So, at 10 and up, because of the post-Oscars, is The Theory of Everything.
Is it up?
Yeah.
It's up. It's up. I mean, it would have fallen a lot more.
All right, so it's okay. Yeah.
Okay,
so
it's down
26%, but it would have fallen more.
It's got over £1 million.
It should finish with 1.1.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay.
Donkey.
It's
Eddie Redmayne has the Oscar. Good for him. It's okay. That's it, and no more.
Should have been Michael Keaton. Anyway,
we know.
At nine, Kingsman: The Secret Service. Film none of us have seen yet,
or will. Well, I certainly won't.
We know. Jay, do you have an opinion on this film?
I think you like Matthew Vaughn, right?
I'm a huge fan. Not as much as Philip, though.
Oh, I got that layer cake. Welcome to Layer Cake.
Stardust.
I don't mind Layer Cake.
Actually. I like it too. It's the only one.
Stardust.
What?
Stardust.
Eh.
At eight, American Sniper.
1.8 million euro later.
It just keeps going. It just keeps going and going.
Don't know if it'll make the two, but... That's impressive.
It's a juggernaut. It should this week or next pass the Hunger Games to Catching Fire and the Hunger Games. Catching Fire Part 1 and become the highest grossing film of 2014 in the US.
Yep. That's quite scary. And also, another surprising fact, this will have made as much money for Warner Brothers here as Interstellar did. And I don't think any of us saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that Interstellar wouldn't be as good as we thought it would be coming. So, there is that.
Yeah.
At seven, a first edition of The Iliad.
The first edition of The Iliad! This, oh God, the boy next door. Why? Look at it, 59,000.
Screen location average 1,000. It's going to bomb out of here next week. That won't be near the top 10.
Yeah. It's in the top 10 as it is. I'm already disappointed. Public, what are you doing? The Duke of Burgundy is out there for you to see, and instead...
Also, It Follows didn't... I don't know how many screens open it now.
I don't. I haven't had a look yet.
As many as The Boy Next Door, I should say.
I'm surprised, like a horror film, I don't mean... Time of year, and somebody's like,
"No, I'd say The Boy Next Door is pretty horrific."
Yeah,
and then at six, The Wedding Ringer. So still hanging on, but massive drop, 52%.
There's a lot of those.
It's all plus 50%. It's the only one. Theory of Everything's the only one to have a modest drop. Yeah,
apparently, yeah. Like Kingsman is down 56%. American Sniper 55%. Wedding Ringer 52.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
Straight in at five. The second best exotic Marigold Hotel.
I still say that's a terrible title.
It is.
Still, it hasn't hurt its box office
too much. No, it's done okay. Yeah, I mean, it probably could have done better, you know? Yeah.
Well, 132,000. And those figures, quarter of a mil?
No. Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, probably. It won't get much more. Then, at four, and winner of Best Animated Oscar, Big Hero 6.
Yeah, It's fine.
Another dip though, 56%. But
it yeah, but then last week was midterm, so you can't take the children's ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's earning 112,000 on its fourth weekend of release. That ain't bad. It'll finish with a million easy.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Then, a tree, Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I did hope to see it this weekend, but alas, I did not.
All right. At two, Focus.
Yeah.
So straight in at two, which, I mean, it's done better than I thought it might.
It nearly hit the number one spot. There's less than $5,000 in it.
Yeah.
And with less screens than number one. That's actually not a
best per location of the week. Yeah. So.
It opened at number one in the US, albeit quite modest by Will Smith standards.
It's his lowest opening since The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Wow.
Jeez, that's a company you don't want to spend the time in.
God, that's... Yeah. So. Yeah, but again... Will Smith, he does not have the pulling power anymore.
No, I think After Earth kind of showed that, plus the fact After Earth was appalling.
But then again, that didn't hurt him before. Wild Wild West was a bomb, but...
Wild West actually, for opening weekend, made a good bit. You know,
word of mouth spread.
I saw it on the cinema. Yeah. Jesus, that's a bad idea.
It's got Kevin Kline in it, that's always good.
And Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh will be in Dublin for the film festival to show Cinderella.
Ah. Yeah. Sir Kenneth.
Sir Kenneth, yes. Northern Ireland's finest.
Indeed.
And then, at one.
Still here.
50 Shades of Grey. Down 57%.
Yeah, it did.
And after the 60-something percent drop last week, I mean, we said it, it's... You know,
it's got its money. It doesn't really matter.
It'll limp to 3 million if it reaches it.
I think that's pretty okay. It's not a bad bit of business.
No. I was talking with a couple of work colleagues. A group of them went to it just last night. Oh, they were disappointed.
Yeah, well.
As one of them said, you know, for a film about sex, there's not that much sex in it.
That would annoy me.
They also complained they didn't get to see enough.
Did you recommend Duke of Burgundy?
I figured
they don't get to see anything in that. So
but it is infinitely sexier.
I haven't seen Fifty Shades, but I can only imagine that that's the case.
Yeah. And you can't make us. Well, no. You can, if anybody wants to pay us for the privilege.
Yeah.
And we'd even do you a review.
Onto this week's new releases. So we start with one that Philip has seen, Still Alice.
Still?
Yeah.
Alice. Yes, I have.
Julianne Moore won the Oscar for it. So.
She did. And now, she is magnificent in this. Basic story, a linguistics professor, early 50s, seems to be having a wonderful life, and suddenly she finds she's starting to forget things, little things, then more things, and then eventually she's diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease. Now, that sounds like a pretty...
Standard movie of the week, disease of the week setup,
and it is. And there isn't a lot. There is only one thing that keeps it from being that, and that is more. She's astounding. That woman can cry. If you see Julianne Moore crying, you are crying. She's just breathtaking in this role. You're watching her slow descent from this lively, energetic, and highly intelligent woman into, well, you can imagine, it just gets worse and worse and worse. So it's basically a film that is hinging on an astounding performance, and the directors, they get it. It's her show.
Yeah.
Even though fine support from the likes of Alec Baldwin, Kristen Stewart's in it, she's fine. But it is her show, and it's just full of those moments which are just quietly heartbreaking. And she shines all the way through it. And I recommend, if only for more. Because in a career full of great performances, this is up there.
More, we say.
More. Although Seventh Son is coming out soon, and the word about more is not good.
Less is more.
Hey. Now, we love Julianne Moore, as everybody should. And she has an Oscar. So, hooray. Win-win.
Excellent.
One Jason's really looking forward to, Neil Blomkamp's Chappie.
The worst title film in probably a decade.
Really?
Chappie.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Sounds very, very silly. The film looks very generic. I can't sum up any enthusiasm.
You know what? I've seen the amount of times I've seen somebody say on Twitter or something like that, they say, oh, it looks so generic. All anybody can come back with is, but the Antwoord! That's all anybody wants to see, the Antwoord.
Really? I've no idea what you're
talking about. Oh, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
You're giving me a look like I've grown a second head.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just want to
I'm just
know.
Saying people just want to see a D-Antwoord in it. Yeah, the heck of the robot. D-Antwoord!
Well, and you've also got Hugh Jackman. Charlotte Copley plays the robot.
No! Oh, yeah. Charlotte. Oh, God.
Sigourney Weaver, Dev Patel.
No. But Charlton Copley! I'm sorry, but after Elysium and Old Boy, no. No, 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 no.
Maleficent.
I really don't care for this. Has there been any reviews because it was coming out? I haven't heard a thing about it.
Well, I'll put it this way: the press screening for Irish critics is a day and a half before release.
Yeah,
not necessarily the best sign.
No.
So the plot is: in the near future, a mechanized police force patrols the streets and deals with lawbreakers.
Wasn't that Elysium?
But it's also RoboCop.
Oh God. This is what I mean.
Now the people are fighting back. One police driver stolen, given new programming, acquires the ability to feel and think for himself, and that robot becomes... Yeah, so Jeremy Renner plays a CIA... No, was it? He plays an undercover reporter, and the CIA want him out of the picture because he's investigating the cocaine smuggling and Syrian or Nicaraguan rebels.
Those damn Nicaraguans.
Yeah, so Contras.
Yeah. During all that sort of malarkey during the reign of Reagan, you know, when he got up to no good.
The 80s, down in the 70s,
the middle of in Central America.
Oh, he committed all kinds of evil malarkey, not least bedtime for Bonza. Oh, I tell you, they were tough times.
They were the best of times, they were the worst.
They were the best of times, you stupid monkey!
And highlighted week, unfinished business.
It is it?
Yeah. Oh, you're going to love it.
Oh, no.
God,
this,
Niall, why are you going
to Vince Vaughn, Dave Franco.
Oh, jeez.
Tom Wilkinson.
Tom Wilkinson ruined my monothon that was coming there a little bit.
Sienna Miller.
Dave Franco is enough reason not to go see anything, isn't he? Yeah, I mean.
From the director of Delivery Man.
Oh, for the love of Christ, I'm going to pass on this one.
And the writer, he was also the writer of The Grand Seduction. Oh my
The good thing here is that it's such an appalling week that I should be able to catch up on ones I haven't seen. Which, you know, every cloud and all that.
Nick Frost.
I hate Nick Frost.
I dunno, I cannot.
The story is about a hard-working small business owner and his two associates who travel to Europe to close the most important deal of their life. But what begins as a routine business trip goes off the rails in every way imaginable and unimaginable, including unplanned stops at a massive sex fetish event and a global economic summit.
Oh,
it is road trip with businessmen.
And a hangover.
Yeah,
it's a mix of every crap.
And
due date.
And Euro trip. And
everything.
Sometimes I despair.
Hang on. Chappie sounds all right now.
It's like Kill the Messenger if you weren't watching.
No, I'm not going to watch any of them. Still Alice will probably get it. That's about it.
Then,
you should.
I shall.
Good. We're not done yet, though.
No, we're not. Oh, there's more. We have Hyena.
Okay.
Which is...
Is it a laugh?
British film. Police corruption thriller.
It's Danny Dyer. No.
See, the problem, I don't think we can do Danny Dyer jokes. I feel like Kermode is monopoly on them.
He does.
How about Ray Winston then? He's always in good ones. Danny Dyer's not a winner.
Boy! You slag! Leave it, you slag! Then again, everybody does a Ray Winston.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually revolving around the words, you slag.
That's all I got.
This got 3 stars in The Guardian, so I mean,
okay.
Worth watching. Then we also have White Bird in a Blizzard.
So I've heard okay things
about
this.
It's not bad.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's Shailene.
Yeah,
this
Shailene
Woodley. This is where you've seen it, I presume,
not. I watched it for the character of her mother.
It's probably why I want to watch it too.
Played by Ava Green.
Uh-huh.
So, I like Ava Green. She's very good.
There you go.
She is.
It's,
Sorry, we sound shallow there, but seriously, she is a very good
actress. No, I really like it.
It's an odd film, White Bird in the Blizzard. So basically, she goes missing. Ava Green's character goes missing. And it's a story about the girl finds freedom in the fact that her mother is no longer around. But then
yes, she would.
She kind of thinks about what actually might have happened. And
this is Greg Araki, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Director of Mysterious Skin and Kaboom.
I've seen Mysterious Skin. I haven't seen Kaboom. Kaboom, I've heard mixed things on.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I concur.
Yeah. All right. No, this sounds okay.
It's a strange film, but it's worth watching.
Good
it's,
strange.
Yeah, I mean,
I like good strange.
The acting in it is
good strange.
The story in it's a bit all over the place, but it's well acted. So I will give it that. I think Woodley proving that she's not just like insurgent material.
Good for her.
Yep. And then the last film of the week.
Oh, pray tell, what is this?
It's a busy week.
Is Dreamcatcher.
Oh no,
this
they're not
the re-release of Kazdan,
no.
Possibly the worst experience I've ever had in the cinema.
Really?
Part of that film.
Yeah, but one of the worst experiences?
Oh, it's
I know the film's bad.
You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah. The Shit Weasels.
Damien was talking into his hand as a phone. That's all I remember. This silly... Oh, God, it's horrible.
those horrible pre-Homeland days for Damien Lewis.
This is not that. This is a documentary about a foreign prostitute who runs the Dreamcatcher Foundation, the charity which helps women leave the sex industry in Chicago.
Sounds a lot more worthy than the other Dreamcatcher.
Yeah, it won at Sundance.
Yeah,
World Cinema Directing Award at Sundance, so...
Jay is always reticent towards Sundance.
I am. I don't know why, but I am.
It's made by Kim Longinotto, who is a British documentary filmmaker and has had some a fairly interesting Love Is All last year.
Okay, you've piqued my interest somewhat.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that you would enjoy, Jason.
I think it is.
Harsh, realistic and miserable. It's
probably
right
good as opposed to the tripe that looks like it's coming out this week, quite frankly. But yeah, you see Chappie now, I'll see
my
board in the blizzard. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
Twice.
I will see Chappie.
He'll be a happy Chappie.
I'll see Kill the Messenger and...
Sorry.
I might see Still Alice, I don't know.
I'll see Stellalis and Whiteboard and Visitor, or perhaps none of them.
Honest, aren't you?
I want to catch something. I will catch something this weekend.
I might.
And I'll come back and I'll say yay or nay.
And on that bombshell, we'll leave it for the week.
Excellent.
Alrighty. See you next week.
Bye.